Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 13th of September, recording at 9:21 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were quieter. Some of them are closed because of a holiday. They were mixed, for the most part. European stock markets, they opened weaker. But then gradually recovered and closed with some decent gains after the Italian bond auction. Italy and Spain had the best percentage gains, up over 2%. And the UK FTSE up 0.87%. The Americas seesawed a bit, but then closed with modest gains, the best of which was the NASDAQ composite up 1.5%. The S&P was up 0.91%. And long-dated government bond prices, against that background, there were some sharp declines, particularly in long-dated U.S. treasuries, down over a point. The U.S. dollar index seesawed a little bit, currently trading slightly lower. So that's really a pause in the dollars, in the dollar strength. Precious metals had a good rebound today, including palladium, which had tested that lateral support at 700. It was up 18, over 18, taking it up to almost 730. The other, yes, that all the precious metals rallied. Silver is currently up 85 at 4107. And gold is up nearly $19 at 1834 as I speak. It had dipped down earlier in the day to 1796. Industrial metals, I believe copper and tin were up a little bit, and the others eased a little bit. Crude oil slightly easier. For Brent, I think that's 111 and change. The WTI was firmer, 89.82. That's up 163. And grains and beans weaker in here today. Okay. So what's going on overall? Well, the uncertainty continues. The volatility also continues, much discussed. I think it has a lot to do with high-frequency trading, and I've got a couple of additional items on that today. The choppy action that we've seen in terms of the major stock markets has and I'll include Wall Street. Let me take Wall Street first. This has not reconfirmed what we've been describing as a cyclical bear market trend. The NASDAQ has actually, the NASDAQ 100 index, it's actually pushed back above that 2200 level, and taken it back above the important March and, was it June or July lows, whichever is the more important of those two reaction lows. My memory fails me at the moment. Therefore, it's not sufficiently up to confirm a downside failure, but we do look for the NASDAQ to lead, particularly on the upside. And so it's steady here at the moment. But a number of other markets, including China and India, which I would expect to be leading at the bottom if a major turn is underway, although perhaps they can they remain fairly they remain quite soft and are actually testing their August lows. But a difference this time compared to 2008, 4Q and 1Q 2009, this time may be that those are the ones that have been operating the tighter monetary policy, and considerably so, to wring inflation out of the system. So that may keep them out of sync. I still think one of the most positive developments that could take place for stock markets would be some sort of indication from China and India that they were moving away from their tightening bias and going to at least a neutral stance, which most people would assume was a precursor to an easier monetary stance. So I think that would be good for global markets generally, but it's understandable that we have not yet seen it because commodity prices have still been really quite firm. So that leaves us in a bit of limbo here. Bottom line, there is no clear evidence that this cyclical bear market phase is over. Long-dated government bond prices have tended to weaken when stock markets are a little bit firmer. Today was no different. The bond prices are still in overall upward trends, and that's been the case for a number of weeks, to my chagrin, because I've got a couple of short positions out there in U.S. Treasuries and gilts. I feel that the yields that we see on those long-term instruments, which are historically low, of course, if they're historically low, by definition, that means they're not good value unless one really does expect recession in perpetuity. Well, a few people do. I'm not among them, and I think this is a temporary flight to so-called quality safety by some investors, and I think it's also banks parking money, especially as they can borrow from their respective central banks at very low rates. And if they've been given advance warning that short-term interest rates are going to remain near zero indefinitely, as they have heard, then they're able to play that yield curve on a leveraged basis, and that helps to keep the bond prices high, the yields low. Now, I understand all that, and as I say, the trend of these prices is still upwards, and therefore the trend of the yields is still downwards. Although I think that over the medium to longer term basis, they will reverse. Now, I would say that, wouldn't I, with a couple of short positions, but I think it's fundamentally logical, as well. Now, in terms of currencies, we have definitely seen a stronger dollar in recent weeks, not least against the Asian currencies, the renminbi excepted. The renminbi has been one of the strongest currencies here overall. The yen also. I was thinking of the Asian growth economies, but the yen has also been pretty firm here overall. Japan's new prime minister says he wants to see a weaker yen. Certainly, Japanese industry has been calling for a weaker yen. The central bank governor has been blocking that to a considerable extent, whereas with China, there are no complaints about the renminbi strength that I'm actually aware of. It helps to moderate their inflation somewhat, and we still regard it as a cheap currency overall. Now, as far as precious metals are concerned, we are still in this ranging phase. And I'd kind of like to see that continue for a while longer because I think that would look healthier technically, particularly for gold. And I've mentioned on a daily basis that gold had surged upwards in August to levels above its rising 200-day moving average that previously always were followed by a mean reversion. And I think at least a partial mean reversion, which is achieved, would be achieved by additional ranging in this sort of $1,800 level, would be good news overall. I don't think that there's a big downside risk, but it's something that is therefore it's a situation where those who are holding the gold bullion funds on an unleveraged basis, I think, can be reasonably relaxed. You've got maybe a couple of $100 downside risk at most, in my opinion, and that's not that much in percentage terms. And particularly when there's certainly no evidence that this overall bull trend is ending or over. It's more challenging for futures traders because gold can now move easily $30, $40, $50 in a day. And I think that volatility will actually increase as the price moves higher over time. That would reflect greater interest and also the fact that moves of that magnitude are nowhere near as big a percentage change as we were seeing a decade or so ago, quite obviously. Now, but they're real in terms of in terms of short-term futures trading, and I think futures traders have progressively reduced the size of their positions overall in line with the rising price, which is certainly appropriate in my view. Now, what about these other commodities generally? My feeling is that it takes, as I've said on a number of occasions, that this is a secular bull market for commodities. Therefore, it takes clear evidence of recession to produce a significant correction. Now, there's no doubt that we have Europe in recession. Some of our Hong Kong friends are saying that Hong Kong is in recession or really on the brink of recession. We know that the U.S. is close to recession. We know that growth is moderating in other countries in response to higher interest rates, not least in China and India. So that's checked the strong advance in commodity price indices. But it hasn't led to a big downward correction, similar to what we saw in 2008. Therefore, I think prices in commodities generally are still uncomfortably high, and I think it's going to remain a problem for a while longer. Now, I've written about stock markets in terms of the cycle. At some length here today, in response to one of the emails, which contains an article by our old friend Robin Griffiths. I've used that as a flat platform here to discuss where I think we are in this valuation contraction cycle for Western markets, and where I think it's going to lead. And I want to draw that to your attention in particular. And I think that pretty much touches most of the bases here today. We're in an environment where it's a couple of days on the upside and a couple of days on the downside, and plenty of angst over Europe, but a little less so today for a change. All the best.